We're back.
We're not dead.
Where have you been?
We got lost.
Got lost
quite a while.
The way
Tube strike.
Southern Rail piss takers.
I picked up a drug addiction.
Drug addiction.
Yeah.
What one? Ketamine.
Glue. Went old school.
Old classic.
Classic.
Yeah.
Started with a prick stick.
Worked up PVA on the hand. Yeah. On the hand, picking it up.
Oh, well, that's the good thing about having glue addiction, because there's that thing to concentrate all your intensity on. Like, you've got all this glue that you can peel. You can basically just sniff, have a really good sniff and then peel for hours on end.
Right.
Oh, it's the future.
Yeah.
It's the future.
Get the kids told.
Yeah.
They'll love it.
Shove your ketamine up your ass.
Tried it.
Get off PVA.
PVA.
Oh, but then I did move on to Lynx after Christmas.
Bag of Lynx.
Yeah. To stall like loads of Christmas kits, you know, too many from aunties. So I went on to aerosols.
Well, yeah.
Are you still on it now?
No.
Just give you headaches, don't they?
Yeah.
Lynx Africa or
Africa? No, yeah, I do like that one.
I don't think they make another one.
Not my personal favourite.
Lynx Southeast Asia's pretty good.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Musk.
Yeah, it smells like musk.
I've moved on to
musk. Anyway, madness. So, yes, we've been away, but we're back.
We've missed you all dearly.
Very, very happy to be back.
Yes, we are. It's been quite some time, but we're back and we're full of joy.
Always.
With a new topic. We've come back after such a long hiatus, and I think there's nothing better to talk about than Dick.
Well.
I agree. You know, it's always on my mind, and we've all got a bit of common ground with Dick, haven't we?
Dick.
We've all got one.
Oriel took the research of Dick too literal. Been legs akimbo for a week.
The dildo collection is unreal.
Many varieties of texture, size.
Well, we had to do some practical practice, you know.
Be very exactly. Rude.
Until I said, no, Dick Turpin, Oriel! Dick bloody Turpin!
Stand and deliver.
I was so embarrassed.
Stand and deliver. Lay down, receive.
Delivering dicks, trying to get rid of all the dildos I bought.
Yes, we are. We're going to talk about Dick Turpin. Very exciting young gentleman.
Mm.
Also, you may...
English legend, some would say. One of the most notorious highwaymen in our history. Well, I think before we get deep into Dick... A little brief history on the highwaymen for all those who aren't aware of the robbering ways.
Robbing.
Well, the highwaymen were like in the pomp between like the 17th, 19th century, covering the length and breadth of the UK, but mainly around the London area on the outskirts. But
that's where there were most highways.
Well, and the Great North Road from York.
To London.
Apparently one of the main outlets for highwaymen was the roads going through Hounslow Heath. What's it called?
Hounslow
Heath, just out road from here.
Hounslow.
Right corner.
Yeah, just left of the London studio.
And but apparently the main roads going through there would lead to the holiday resorts in the West Country. And if you're going on holiday, if you're living in London in the 17...
Who went on holiday?
In the 1700s.
Well,
exactly. You have a bit of lolly. A bit of cash. A bit of cash in Thatic. And you could afford to go on holiday to
rich
the West
folk.
Country. Rich folk, carrying their holiday cash as well.
Spends.
In a little pouch.
Yeah, little pouch with all the euros in. Or
little activity boot to fill in while you sat on back
three
at horse.
Three pence
yeah,
and five pence.
That's
five and two.
Colouring.
Them tight socks on as well.
Pointy shoes.
Keep the blood flowing.
Yeah.
Flight socks.
What kind of holiday resorts were knocking away in the 1700s?
Oh, there'd be like manor houses out there. Maybe.
Right, I think you're taking the sea.
Yeah, taking the sea air. That's what you want.
Yes.
Yeah,
all that business.
Revitalise yourself. So the highwaymen of the time would hide out ready to capture these people on the way to the holidays and nick their holiday spends then they won't be coming home with no big pencils.
It's a good idea.
Like laser pens.
Everyone's always got loads of money for blowing your holidays.
Well, exactly. You? And also, not necessarily the immediate royal family, but aristocrats.
Lesser known royals.
Heading out to the castles of Windsor and etc.
Oh, right,
yeah. You know, they'd be
Earls and Dukes.
Earls and Dukes would be carrying heavy cash. Gold.
Guineas. Shillings.
Pigs. rich pickings for the highwaymen. But there was somewhat of the tales of today that they were more lovable rogues.
Well, they've seen as being rather dashing and sexy.
Exactly.
And I don't think they had like the face paint like adamantine.
Stand and deliver. Do they say that as they come out the bush?
Yeah, as they take you by surprise.
Right, that's how they take you by surprise.
Because Big Dick, he got that phrase attributed to him.
Right, so that was his.
He invented it. Yeah,
trademark.
No one said it before he said it. Thought
like,
it. They
Dick,
say,
coming. They see him on the horizon.
Give us your money.
Horse is coming. Horse is coming on the right. Quick, set off the dry ice. Dry ice. Oh, bloody hell! Looks a bit foggy. Come through. Drums start going. Then all of a sudden. Stand and deliver. Whoa. Go.
Your money or your life.
My life, I'm saving up. But these lovable rogues, the highwaymen, Dick Turpin, the most iconic of the highwaymen, the chief baddie, resembled within many books and tales as a lovable rogue, as a Cape Crusader, we have found that he was none of these things.
No, he weren't. You were a bit of a scrot.
He was a right scrotty bastard.
He were. You were horrible.
And nasty piece of work. So our Dick, he were born at the Bluebell Inn.
Oh, born in a pub.
Yeah, on the 21st of September in 1705.
For a bit, that's quite a while ago.
A long ago. Would he have been now?
No.
Yeah, 17. He's
he won't be still kicking about.
No.
312.
Oof, that'd be a fair innings.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Anyone's standard.
Well, his dad was a butcher and an innkeeper. And several stories suggest that Dick may have followed his father in these trades.
Yes, I believe that he was a bit of a butcher.
Yeah.
He was an apprentice butcher. However, he was known to have conducted himself in a loose and disorderly manner.
Ooh, what does that mean?
He's not applying himself to his butchery apprenticeship.
Ah, right, so
he couldn't tell.
There's a certain code of conduct within the butchery trade.
You've got to know a snout from an arsehole, haven't
you? Well, you have, yeah. I think his butchery kind of what led him into his criminal path in life.
Well, you're quite right, Christopher, because what do you do if you're a butcher and you've not got any cows or sheep or out for chop up?
What do you do? We were going to get some rats, cats, dogs.
Well, you go through them. You go through the neighbourhood.
What's
this? Oh, a good bit of pork. Oh, it's tough.
There's only so many rats you can pass
off.
There's
a collar on it. What's that? You're microchipping it.
I know.
I can say it's chapping it.
It's
not right.
He used to go out and nick a few himself, didn't he?
Which at the time was very, very naughty.
Very naughty.
You're stealing. You're not just stealing any like deer or cattle. You're stealing the king's cattle.
Yeah.
Because any wild beast was owned by the king, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, he started off bad because even as a young man, when he just finished his apprenticeship as a butcher, he went out. Now, when you're going to rob something, you've got to, like, you better, like, go for something little, aren't you? And you can be quite fleet of foot, or, you know, you don't want to get caught, do you? You don't want to go out on your first job, try stealing two oxes.
No.
A bit too big for his boots, though.
Well, yeah.
Unwieldy, aren't they?
I mean, what, is he on foot, or?
Well, I don't know.
Oxes are big bastards as well.
Even
on
an ox, you couldn't drag two oxes.
It's like Top Trumps. I play two oxes against your one horse. I win.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, unless he's butchering him on sight.
Yeah. Well, no, the big fuckers, they weigh half a ton.
True. But he could get rid of all
the... You need to walk.
You could, yeah. Maybe he doesn't kill them. Maybe he just gets a noose on them and trots them back.
Go on. But they're big, so they're quite noticeable.
Well, they are, yeah.
What's Dick doing over there with them two big cows?
What's Dick doing over there with them two big curtains?
But he's thinking though, isn't he? He's Essex, so it'll be a bit more.
Oh, yes.
He'll be a bit more trendy. He's Essex, yeah.
Bit way, a bit more.
What's our dick doing over there? Yeah. Ooh, big guess.
So
with his tan and his white teeth, plucked eyebrows. I bet he did wear eyeliner after all. No,
dating two fat cows.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how he got away with it. Yeah. He just thought we were a couple of Essex birds.
Well, he fucked up anyway. Because he nearly got caught.
There's bits of him in creosote.
Yeah. I thought they were wearing miniskirts.
Bronzing.
Some sort of tanning thing.
Tanning the ox.
Bronzing.
Well, one of them had stilettos on. Poor sod.
Oxes are male though, aren't they?
I don't know. They're just big. Have they got testicles?
I don't know.
Ox are just big, massive animals.
I was thinking they might have big tits and could have put a bra on others.
Yeah.
Oxes, they're like an unknown, aren't they?
an ox that had a tit job. Yeah. That's commonplace in Essex.
Oxes are like the third sex of cow, because you've got cows and then you've got bulls.
Yeah, and then what's an ox?
And then you've got oxes.
Please, for any cow people, any cow enthusiast,
any fat cows.
Well, please send us some. We've got Google and all that stuff. But
enlighten us. Yeah. Free.
Please tell us.
If you're an expert, you can't always trust Google. Yeah, Wikipedia is full of lies.
It is.
But yeah, he got caught because they were big. So he fucked off and hid in Epping Forest. There's a theme about Epping Forest. Yes. Whenever he fucks up,
that's his like comfort.
He goes and hides in Epping Forest. He's got a cave where he likes staying in.
I bet he's got a stash of porn.
I bet he has. There's always porn in
forests.
Porn and ox. In abundance.
But I bet you don't though anymore. In my youth, if you ever went in woods, you'd find a bit of porn.
Well, there's always porn. Well, the porn's all digital these days.
Exactly. No. Maybe you find like a discarded iPod or something with fatty porn on.
There's nothing quite like the joy of an 11-year-old boy finding a slightly weathered porn mag that's been discarded in a forest.
Yes. And who left them there?
I think it must be like truck drivers wanging about at Winder or something when they're driving along.
Just scanning of the evidence.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you don't
the
get
mystery.
Oh,
the mystery. Anyway, Dick.
So he disappears off, and once the heat's off, he makes a comeback, and he makes a small venture into doing a bit of smuggling.
Flippy an egg.
But on his first run...
What's he smuggling? Like cuckoo clocks or something.
Yeah. Bringing him in from Holland.
Yeah.
Clogs.
Smuggling
clogs in.
Clogs and cheese.
You don't want to pay tax on clogs, you're a motherfucker.
Exactly. Especially on them cobbled streets.
Yeah.
So anyway, walk in comfort.
It doesn't last long. There's a smuggler.
Stilettoed clogs for all for all Essex oxes.
Hello to all our listeners in Essex.
For all the Essex fat cows.
There's no fat cows in London. They're all in Essex.
Go on.
Well, he fucks up, doesn't he? Nearly gets caught again. Local constables after him.
Right. Though this is after his smuggling.
Yeah, so he gives up the old smuggling.
Well, I think it's this when he gets in with a gang.
He gets in a gang.
You want to be in my gang?
It's through his butchery. I think the Gregorys are known for rustling.
The naughty boys.
The stealing deer and whatnot. But what they used to do is they'd steal deer and oxes and whatever they do, they'd kill them. But then they'd bring them to our dick as the black market butcher.
He'd butcher them
so
up.
So to speak.
So just to give you a bit of background on the gang.
Oh, here we go.
Samuel.
All the characters of the gang. This is exciting.
Well, the leader.
Do you want to be my gang, my gang, my gang?
You can't sing that anymore.
I'm the leader.
Sorry. No. He does kids.
Why is it all right to sing Michael Jackson's song, but it's not all right to sing Gary Glitter's song?
Because it wasn't proven.
I can't believe you just... Stop. He does kids. Stop now. Quick.
Stop.
Nearly had a bloody coronary, this lad.
well-respected podcast.
That's me thinking that my singing voice was amazing.
You never catch us saying anything untoward, Sonny, yeah. Do you?
No. Just, whoa!
Cut!
I heard she got lost profits
next. Oh, gosh, yeah. Two little boys.
Hey, too many now, too many.
So, the Essex Gang.
The Essex Gang.
Leader, Samuel Gregory.
Oh, Gregors.
Oh, Gregor.
And then, his supporting cast were Jeremiah Gregory and Jasper Gregory, all brothers.
Jerry and Jasp.
Joseph Rose.
A lot of J's going on here.
John Jones.
The J Gang.
Yeah.
The J. Who else?
Tom Roden.
Oh, boo.
John Wheeler. Long time fence, Murray Brazier.
I don't understand.
Fence
that.
Is like. Yeah. Passes on the stolen goods.
I was reading this
marketing.
Before and I thought.
Well, change them from stolen goods into cash.
Right, okay.
Those deals.
So she was like going round pubs and that, saying, hey, I've got a bit of got a bit of mutton here. Do you want a bit?
Do you want a bit? I've saved my favourites. I mean, there were others as well. I've not named them all.
Right, but you're fond of the J.
They just happened to be the ones I picked. But I think my favourite to last was Ned Rust.
Ned Rust.
Good old Ned Rust.
Don't catch your foot on him, you get TB.
So, the Gregory Gang, they started off as kind of like deer poachers to begin with.
Yeah.
Now, deer poaching was very, 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 very naughty thing to do in olden
days. Naughty,
naughty.
Put that deer down there, naughty bye.
That, in 1723, just to give you a fact, a real fact, Penny Mortis, the government passed a law. Well, not a law. They passed an act, because it's called an act, called the Black Act, which meant was illegal to blacken up your face or wear a disguise whilst in a forest.
Oh, very ahead of the times.
Flipping,
blacking up, no
blacking
good.
No blacking up in them days. But it was a very serious offence.
Can I just say, what if you're a black man walking through the woods?
Well, you've not blacked up your face, you are black.
I don't think that's illegal, is it?
So why weren't all the poachers black men?
Because they were still in Africa.
Okay. I don't think immigration was a thing.
If you happen to be a black man wearing a mask... if you happen to be a black man wearing a mask...
Yes.
On the other hand, then you could be in the shit. So to speak. Because then you are covering up your face in a forest.
Yes.
Assuming you was in a forest.
What if you're a woman in a burqa?
Well, as long as you're not in a forest, then you're all right.
In a forest.
Well, you're fucked. So, you are. It's a 1723 Black Act.
Right, that's all you need
is that
to know.
Is that clear? Yeah.
Bordering on racism. Teetering.
Not racist.
It's tickling the balls of racism.
Tickling the balls of racism.
It really is tickling
it's
the balls.
On the statute boot. So anyway, I mean, we're talking early 1730s. The Gregory Gang are up to no good, and young Dick is butchering up the meat.
Yes.
Now, what happens is things are on the up. The gang are doing really well.
All right. Yeah.
And Dick's making a bloody fortune out of all this bloody butchery.
Yes.
Bloody. Yeah. Legs and arms everywhere, arms, hooves, legs and hooves,
legs and
everywhere,
arms.
Sides.
Bloody hell, deer even had arms back in them days.
Mid and neck, scrag end, you know, all the
eyeballs.
All the lovely stuff. So, he gives up his butchery and becomes a landlord of a public house.
Oh, so he like, gets himself a pub and...
Yeah, he gets himself a boozer.
So he's following the family trait.
Yeah, he's following the family,
trait.
The Rose and Crown at Clay Hill.
Ooh.
Very nice. Now he's not the underling butcher, he's like, they're going out, doing the jobs, getting in the pub afterwards, a few beers,
lads,
look at our massive cocks, we've robbed a deer,
bringing in a deer on a stick,
yeah, get them hooves over here.
So Dick's getting well in with him, and he takes the next step.
All right, okay.
To become a member of the gang.
Oh,
full time.
Initiation.
Yeah, what do you think you have to do? Finger up the bum.
Stick your head up that deer.
No, that's not much of an initiation.
Shag the deer.
Yeah.
A good initiation has got to involve...
Snow tent.
Bumholes.
What?
It's not an initiation if it doesn't involve a bumhole.
Yeah, that's what they do at boarding schools and armies.
And frat houses and
so
that.
So why would it be different with the Essex gang?
Exactly. Yeah.
You've got to have a spray tan on your bumhole.
Then you've got to wash the leather.
Ain't no bleach. Yes. Ain't no bleach.
Yeah. Bleach your arsehole.
That's what Turpin had to do. And ain't no bleach.
Sorry.
That was the best noise ever.
With a pig.
That noise was vile.
Oh.
Probably the worst in me.
Ain't no bleaching.
I know, bloody hell, it don't half get me. Yeah. God.
Yeah, it can smart.
Especially
a bit,
if you don't loot it right. I do that often now. I call it changing my ringtone.
Very good.
He's here all week.
Very good.
Boom, boom.
So it's all getting a bit too hot under the collar. They're getting hot and bothered when it comes to the poachery.
Well, yes, because the Gregory gang took it one step further because they'd been doing the poachery and the finding their oxes and the deers, but no, they'd killed human beings. Oh. Yes.
I wonder if they ended up on the butcher's slab.
Well, that's what I thought.
They were almost caught, I think. And somebody had, you know, disturbed them, and rather than, like you said, it was a very, very, very naughty thing to do.
It was.
And you'd probably hung
by
the neck. You'd be hung. So what other possible route can you take to avoid the noose? Is to kill the man that caught you.
It's a deer eat deer situation,
and that's exactly what the Gregory gang did, killing two of their witnesses, whatever. They were dead. Brown bread, as they say.
Brown bread.
They're in London. Essex.
Yeah. And I think it's getting too hard to keep it up.
Yeah, well, I think...
So to speak, for Dick. Sorry.
He's got no problem around them bloody deer all the time.
Yeah, the heat's really on for any poach, you know, after the two killings, so... They basically have to lay low a little bit, but also, you know, they've got to put bread on the table, these lads.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean? They've got a fancy lifestyle. They're loving the booze down at Dick's place all the time.
Yeah.
But now they're not bringing the moolah in, so they've got to look at other avenues.
Diversification.
Exactly.
Think outside the box. So what do? Burglary.
Not just burglary. We're talking. House raids.
Oh, proper full on, like fucking people up till they gave you the money kind of burglary, not like sneak thievery.
No, but yeah, it's like going out to the outskirts of London to where there's maybe like larger houses, like houses.
Big houses, big farmhouses, you know, country piles, that kind of bollocks.
Surprise and terror, I think they called it. They'd smash through the, you know, smash through the door. Rah, we've got guns. Give us your money.
Well, I've got a few examples of some of the naughty things that they got up to. So, on one attack that took place in Lawton in Essex, little Dickie had heard a rumour of an old widowed woman.
Oh, yo, dang.
Who was said to keep £700 at least in the house. Now, if you think 50 quid, 7 grand, do the maths.
Yeah.
Laura money.
Do the maths.
It's a lot. Well, 58 is 7, so 100 is 14.
It's just a Laura money.
7 14s.
Do the maths.
7 14s.
70. 4 7s.
Let me just get my brain
£98,000,
I think it is.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, no, just a minute. It's £98,000.
Yeah, well done. So.
It's good you're no socks on, otherwise we've been buggered.
Yeah. They bust in, and, you know, they're trying to rob her and that, and saying, Where's your fucking money?
Where's your fucking money, you slag?
And, according to reports from the time, the woman gamely resisted all of Turpin's efforts.
Gamely resisted?
Gamely. She
She'd knock his head off if...
Fuck off, you cat.
She weren't for telling him a fucking thing. I ain't telling you fucking nothing.
Right back at Yed with horse's hoof. What do they call it?
Horseshoe.
Horseshoe.
Throwing it like a boomerang.
Yeah.
Throwing horseshoe like a boom. Yeah, that's what they did.
That's exactly what they did.
Straw fod.
What do you do to the granny who's not going to tell you where the bloody money is?
You stab her.
Stuck her arse on fire until she fucking spat it out.
They put her arse on fire?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I like the style.
They hoisted her into the open fire until she gave up her treasure. No, they didn't make her take her pants down. They just sat her on
See,
fire.
See, I've got images we're of her with, roast... like, with her bloomers round her ankles.
Oh, yeah, we're going to roast you, a big fat ass. I only put an apple in her mouth.
Oh, no, I did. Good I mean, lady. I do.
Yeah, sorry, poor lady.
Oh, I hope she's all right.
Years ago, relatives out of it.
So then they struck again very shortly after, raiding the home of a chandler.
Oh, what? Like him from Friends?
Well, it took me a while to work it out, but apparently it's a chandler in olden days was someone who made candles or...
But is that where the word chandelier? Is that where chandelier comes from?
Well, very possibly, Christopher. So they burst into their home and they had loads of guns and they were going mental. Give us your fucking money, give us your fucking money.
Put the willies up them.
Took away another 300 quid, so that's probably another 50 grand, something like that.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
They're doing really well there and they're just going mad and it's one after the other after the other.
And on the 19th of December, Turpin and five other men raided the home of Ambrose Skinner.
Ambrose Skinner?
That's a good name.
It is a good name. I like the skin on an Ambrose after a good...
What, like a rice pudding?
Yeah.
I think it's... Like,
Ambrosia.
It was 73 as well, this fella, so it's like the targeting old people.
There's a lot of foggies. There's a lot of old foggies going on here.
Yeah. They don't put up a fight.
Well, this is why, you know, they're definitely not living up to the charismatic, lovable roles.
Dashing heroes.
Yes. So what happened to old Ambrosia?
Well, it's all a bit woolly, really, about our Ambrose Skinner, but they did leave with 300 quid.
Oh, well, what more do you need to know? She probably had bloody dementia.
Well, exactly.
They probably told her that they probably went in trying to sell her some double glazing, while my other one nipped it back and nicked it out at Nickerdraw. Got 300 quid out at Nickerdraw and did one. Told her they'd be back next week doing gutters.
They didn't have CCTV or exactly. Don Littlewood. To crack down on him.
Yeah, he'd have been a
little man.
And then a couple of days after that, this was Minus Turpin, though, so it's important to note that his gang are quite proactive, you know.
What, this guy's called Minus Turpin?
Minus Turpin.
All right, sorry. What? I just clocked on then.
Are you off your head?
It's all that glue.
I know, bloody get off Evo stick.
Minus Turpin. Well, they have funny names in olden times.
So, they did, yeah.
Dick and Minus Turpin, the terrible twosome. Anyway, so Minus Turpin attacked the home of a keeper, William Mason.
Ooh, the keeper of...
The keeper of Ox.
The realm.
Yeah, he had a couple of fat cows in his back room.
Hey, up, wee. Yeah.
And during the robbery, Mason's servant managed to escape and returned about an hour later with several neighbours. Ooh. By which time the house was ransacked and the thieves long gone. So, you know, they've got a presence, they've tore this house apart, but it doesn't look like they've left with much, but they've shook everyone up, you know, they've...
Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, they're going from one to another, basically going around all the outskirts of London, getting to all these big houses. But it soon comes to a halt when... Well, basically, they take on one too many. They pull up to the house of Joseph Lawrence. As usual, they enter they burst into the yard where they find a shepherd's boy. They tie him up, gagged and bound, chuck him in barn. Next minute, boot the door open. Whee!
Are you saying they booted his back door, though?
No. Just the house back door. Booting it open, run in. They find Joseph Lawrence in there, and two of his servants. John Pete, who was a man, and Dorothy Street.
Pete and Street. Like a shit working men club band.
They tie old John up, Joseph. They tie old Joseph Lawrence up, but Joseph, like we said, they usually you know, show the guns, give him a bit of a rough and tumble,
yeah,
and spill the beans. They spill it. Well, not old Joseph, even though he was well in his 70s, yeah. Again, they've got an old fog here tied up. He was a bit of a tough nut.
Yeah,
bit of a tough nut to crack.
Money.
A bit like an hazelnut, maybe. Or
an almond.
An almond's a tough one to crack.
And the shit when you get in them.
Brazil nuts as well.
Brazil.
No. At least they were worth it.
An hammer on them. They beat him with pistols.
Oh, on his burnt buttocks.
On his burnt buttocks.
So I believe.
Dirty bastards.
Badly bruising him.
They also piled boiling water over him.
They piled him with boiling water.
What's piled mean?
No, it sounds like an olden day.
Well, because it wasn't boiling water, because one of the servants managed to get a bit of cold in there before they poured it over. Which, if you do your research, if somebody has water poured over them that was once boiling but had cold water added to it, it is actually called boiling water.
Right.
So, yeah, Very good research, up yours.
But
he still didn't crack.
I don't care about this boiled water or whatever. They tipped it over his fucking head. I mean, they didn't hold back.
True.
Poiled or not.
Fucking tepid. I'd be pissed off. It was freezing cold.
Although he might have been quite thankful of it, because next, he's stick his fucking arse in fire, don't
they? They love a good arse on fire trick.
They can't help themselves but eating up a couple of cheese.
Can't laugh, can you?
Have you seen this as well? They pulled him around the house by his nose.
How did you do that? What, like a pinch? Do you reckon two fingers up the nostrils?
Yeah, two fingers up.
Yeah. I mean, all fun and games, but... in the meantime, Gregory is upstairs with the maid doing a bit of rapage, unfortunately.
That's not nice.
Poor girl.
Dorothy Street.
She had a right rough time, Josie Florence.
That is one thing about...
He pulled his pants down his ankles and drag him round on his bare arse on floorboards. I mean,
it all sounds a bit comical, doesn't it? It all sounds a bit Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah. And that's how I imagine it in the olden days.
They must have been fucking wetting themselves laughing.
I know, pulling him round with his nose.
Scratching him along the floor with his arse. And then putting it on the fire. Yeah. Do you reckon they dragged him before or after the
burn? I just think it was like a lowering process. Like, you know, if you were doing a leg and a wing, just lower him down and
when you get it back and it's too hot. when your nuts dropping. I bet if he were old as well, he'd have had some like low swingers, wouldn't he?
So
his nuts would have hit the flames first.
That's if he had no pants on. We're assuming his pants are fully round his ankles and nuts.
If they dropped his pants to drag him round the floor. I'm assuming they dropped him straight onto the fire.
And they weren't big on underpants in olden days.
No, they weren't.
It was mainly loincloth.
Everyone was commando.
Yeah, but it was after being dragged across the cobbled floor by his burr arse cheeks that he did eventually spill the beans and give him the 30 quid that he had hidden in a cupboard.
You'd have just fucking cough that up straight away, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, is it
he's
really worth it?
He's had a ship for 300 years.
Is it really worth it?
I know. He's going to have spent 30 quid on Sudocrem now.
Sausage is piled right out, though. Yeah. On the upside.
On the upside. Every cloud. Every cloud. But this one really did capture the headlines. Rewards were put out. Like we said, there was no police at the time, as such, no police force, but rewards would be put out and it'd be down to, like, citizens' arrest.
Yeah.
So, the servant who we mentioned before, John Pete, and Joseph Lawrence's son were at the head of the manhunt. They went searching, looking
high and low.
High and low, low and high, up the stairs, down the stairs, in the maid's chamber.
In pubs, mainly.
In pubs, yeah, in pubs.
In boozer.
In boozers.
Not got a lot of imagination, these lads.
But the word came back that the horses that they'd been seen on had been spotted tied up outside a pub in Malmesbury.
Bloody Malmesbury.
Word got back to them. I mean, it makes you wonder how word got to them, really. I don't...
Like men on horses riding fast.
Right, yeah, true. So they couldn't have been that far away, could
they? Not a carrier pigeon.
No.
You can only go as far as what an horse will take you.
True. Anyway, they found him in a pub.
And they're a bit thick, these lot, so when they've done a robbery, they just go to the nearest pub and get levered.
Hooray!
Got money!
Next door. So yeah, news that they're in the pub getting pissed. So the two lads turn up, they rock up, bring a couple more lads to them, boom. Kick doors at pub in. These lot are all half cut. Easy arrest. But there's only three of the gang there.
Yeah.
Only three, not the whole gang, not Dick Turpin, not the Gregory boys. Just three...
three of the lads.
Assailants.
Three no-mark, three lower orders.
They were spotted drinking with a woman as well. Oh,
a bit of brass.
Yeah, well, no, I think it was possibly men.
It was the fence.
It was Armazza.
Armaz.
Well, they were trying to get rid of all the fucking ucky gear, what they just got hold of.
Yeah, bit of skirt.
And it was actually the younger one, Wheeler. He was about 15, I think. He betrayed his colleagues in descriptions of those to be captured.
Well, this after the arrest?
Yeah, and he spilled all the beans and it all went to press and it all went tits up.
Also, he gave Turpin's name, he gave the Gregory's.
Yeah.
So.
There's only one word to say right now. Grass.
Grass.
Exactly, yeah.
Grass. No one likes a grass.
Fucking
no
grass.
No one likes a turncoat.
Yeah, and it's in the London Gazette, Turpin was described as Richard Turpin, a butcher by trade, is a tall, fresh-coloured man, very much marked with the smallpox, about 26 years of age, about 5 feet 9 inches high, lived some time ago in Whitechapel and did lately lodge somewhere about Millbank.
Ooh! So
another interesting fact following on from that.
This is the bit I like.
He wears a blue-grey coat and a natural wig.
Really? Yeah. He wears a wig, does he?
He wears a wig. He's not down to losing his hair. It's a fashion statement.
Bloody hell, I wish I lived in it.
Well, that's what I mean, a natural wig, so it looked very all natural, you know.
Oh, so it weren't also?
No.
He just scalped one of you.
Scalped an ox.
Yeah.
That's why he just...
It's a shame, though, because like, I think they were that shit in them days that you were known by your cult.
He's got an old blue Elise.
He's got a blue-grey Elise.
Levi jeans.
Yeah.
Very
Kappa Poppers.
Same fucking coat for 20 years. Can't get away. Buy a new one instead of pissing all your money away.
As to 10 stripes.
The rest of the gang went, obviously, now the known. Dick Turpin's known, the Gregory's are known by name.
Flee!
And the rest of the gang were taken to trial. Now, in the 18th century, the average trial took 8 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I love a good well-thought-out
8 minutes.
Trial.
You were you had to defend yourself because apparently if you were innocent, there's nothing hard and fast about speaking the truth. Juries would deliberate on about 20 cases a day with the majority of trials.
Bloody hard work, isn't it? Hard work.
The majority of trials...
tired. And they've not even invented coffee.
Exactly.
How did they cope?
Well, I don't know.
But mainly ale, weren't it?
Ale.
Just kept awake on ale.
Two scoops.
But the majority of trials ended in the death sentence, as you might expect.
Better to be safe than sorry.
Not want it happening again.
Exactly. Guilty, not guilty.
Yeah,
just get you out. String him up. Apparently, if there was... no death sentences given all day, like within 20 trials, it was like almost unheard of. The judge would be presented with a special pair of white gloves to commiserate.
Yeah, Michael Jackson over there.
I know. Yeah, it was a maiden session. It was known as a maiden session. And the judge would get a special pair of white gloves because he'd not managed to kill anybody all day, which is nice. So his hands were clean, but not his conscience from the day before. So the Gregory brothers and Turpin were still at large.
Yes, they're on the run. Hiding again.
On the run.
So they are in hiding, and it's a good job they're in hiding because the fucking heat is on.
The heat is on.
The shit has hit the fan. Have you got a song for that?
It's hit the fan.
The shit has hit the fan.
It's got number one written all over it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and they are in hiding, but then...
If it did really well, like...
You'd love that, wouldn't you?
And we
you just
yeah, but do you know what
face.
I do? Do you know what I do? Like, when we were on tour, singing our song, that the shit hit the fan.
Throw nappies at a fan.
I'd just bring loads of shit eggs and throw it at everybody watching.
No, I'll throw it at the
How ironic
the
would that be?
Oh, it'd be brilliant.
That is a master stroke.
That's so hipster.
I don't know how I think of these
I
things.
I don't know
sometimes.
How you think of what, Chris.
And all that, what are you doing? We're covered in shit. I'm like, The shit has hit the fan.
Could get slingshots with it and probably fight, belt it out though.
Helicopters.
Yeah.
Dropping it from above.
Water bombs full of diarrhea. Yeah.
So. He's the most vile Thor ever.
I'm not putting it in vials. That's too precise.
There you go.
Getting one of them things. What are they called though?
Turkey baster.
No. Put shit in a balloon.
Super soaker.
I'm not that committed to the cause, Chris. A funnel.
A funnel, yeah.
Anyway.
Shitting in a funnel. Oh, God.
Water balloon.
This is escalating.
Three raw chickens.
So it's all unravelling. It's unravelling.
Well, yeah.
It's
unravelling. Yeah. On the back of that, yeah. Shit when that happens.
So originally...
Sorry.
No, it's all right. Originally, Wheeler, who's the grass, Saunders and Fielder all got nicked, and then
they're all hung, aren't they?
They're the first three who got nicked. Well, they've not been hung yet.
Not yet.
They're in prison, and then as they're on the run, Walker, Brazier, and Rose were captured in a Chandler's shop. Now you think, as we discussed earlier, Chandler makes wax candles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, they're in his shop. And they were drinking punch.
Were they?
Yeah, which is a bit strange.
There's booze everywhere these days. Yeah, well, in them days.
But anyway, Fielder, Rose, Saunders and Walkers, they all get done. They get hung. So now we're
hung
down
by
to
the neck.
The very...
So we're just what?
Nucleus of the gang is remaining.
Just Dick and the Gregory
Gregory's and a few others. So they sort of go underground and then they surface... Because they get caught trying to nick an horse from a servant of the Earl of Suffolk.
Ooh!
Which you think, well, you can keep it a bit more low down, but no, they've gone for it and they've got caught. Jasper Gregory is caught and he's executed. Shortly after, his brothers, Samuel and... Which one was that?
Jeremy.
Lou. They get captured and Samuel gets the tip of his nose cut off.
Yes, well, I saw this. They both... they were at a cockfight.
They were at a what?
They were at a cockfight. And
what did Dime for?
Well, you tear your pants down.
Yes.
And then you get a male chicken and throw it in a ring.
They were at a cockfight and apparently the Gregory boys were spotted and two locals waited till they were asleep and then jumped on them. One of them, nose cut off. I mean, this is before police brutality.
Oh,
I don't remember.
There's none of this. So, loosen my ankles.
Yeah. Oh, slip to this. Nose off. Slip to this. Slip the fuck off. Slip to this. Fucking get his nose off. Whipped his nose off. The other lad shot in the thigh.
Yeah, Jezza.
That's in the leg for the Wiganers out there. Not in the head.
Shot off. He shot his thigh. What, your leg or your head?
They were both... The one shot... Sorry, I'm not being very precise here, but the one shot, I think, was Jeremy.
Yes, it was Jeremy.
He died not long after. The other one, by the neck. Didn't die by loss of nose, unfortunately.
Yeah. Mary Brazier, she gets off kind of okay because she gets transported to America.
America, yeah.
So
she gets a chance.
Retired in Florida.
Chance of living in Disneyland.
Ooh.
Florida.
See that? Yeah. Reports say that she's just getting about on a Segway these days, but living the American dream.
The rumours were that they cut off Samuel's nose just to spite his face.
Oh, my.
Well... Just to bring this shambles to an end, young John, the fucking grass, he is instrumental in proving the case against his former colleagues. And he gets freed.
That's good.
Oh, well, it's not, is it? Because he's a thing, he's a grass. And then he just sort of drifts into the unknown. Some say that he was murdered for being a grass. Others say that he died of natural causes.
Oh.
Well, there you go. So that's the end of the Gregory gang.
So Dick's on his own now.
A big cross through that.
Dick's on his own.
Just a dick and two balls.
Now, he has a career change.
Career change.
Yes.
I like to see it more as a rebrand.
Yes, he is.
Rebrand.
He rebrand.
He's got to his mid-30s now. He's feeling like his life's in crisis. You know, he's bought a sports car.
Yeah,
that's not
yeah.
done the trick for him. He's cheated on his wife, gone with a younger model. That's not done the trick for him. So he decides it's time to change his career and become
a highwayman.
Highwayman.
Yeah, very, very exotic name, really, for a mugger.
Well, yeah. I thought this, yeah, it's very elaborate and posh sounding. It sounds a lot more glamorous than it is.
Yeah, it does. He's just a thief.
Well, basically, when you're running your operations from a cave in a forest...
Well, yeah.
It's not exactly... You know, he's not going to file a fax.
He still puts his face on every day, doesn't he? Bit of eyeliner here and there.
Yeah. So he's basically created such a storm in Epping Forest that even the local tradesmen starting to carry pieces with them.
Yeah.
Fucking chewed up.
All right, yeah.
Got your tool.
Well, this time, this is like the heyday of the stagecoach at this time. And only the rich could afford to travel by stagecoach.
Oh, is these the holiday fee people?
Yeah,
the
yeah. Apparently, a ticket from Hereford to London would cost £1.50. Hereford to London, £1.50. But when you think you could rent a property in central London for £5 for a year.
Ooh.
So you needed a lot of money.
Imagine them prices
these
days.
A lot
of
money. I know. Can you imagine if you'd have bought somewhere then?
Oh, it's cheaper than Sharon.
Oh, you'd have been Dublin round before you knew it now.
No.
But, so, as you would think, rich pickings for a highwayman for all these stagecoaches was rich folk. But Dick wouldn't hold up stagecoaches. They were a bit too much for him.
He was a bit frightened.
He was a bit frightened of stagecoaches because they always had at least two people.
They had like a driver.
And a driver. Footman. Exactly, and a footman.
And a lampman.
Bit too much for a Dick. He liked just taking on single travellers.
Yeah, take them on so, easy.
Turn up with
easy,
your gun.
Easy.
Give your money or your life. Give us your money. He'd take the money. He'd grab their horse. He'd go off on the horse, sell it. He'd go between York, Lincoln and London. So if he robbed somebody in London, go up to Lincoln or somewhere, you know,
yeah.
And sell
so
his horse.
So basically, he's creating the heat and then he's moving to a quiet place to carry on with his little doodly deedlies.
But it was during this time that Dick Turpin was starting to become a known character.
He was getting quite notorious, wasn't he?
He's getting a name.
He's a face.
Yeah.
One of the local faces, don't fuck with him. A
couple of
one
articles
of
in the London Gazette.
Ooh.
Would you believe it?
Bloody hell.
Naming and shaming.
Bloody hell.
Naming and shaming.
Surely one of the headlines had to be Big Dick.
Big
like
Dick
that.
Strikes again.
Yeah, you know.
It will
come
lead,
on.
Of course.
And then when he disappeared, like, Dick's gone deep underground in smaller font.
Dick shriveled. Dick shriveled up into nothingness.
Dick shriveled into the bush.
Dick shriveled into the cave. Yeah. Is that a euphemism for shagging? Dick in the cave.
Big Dick in cave.
I wonder if there's someone out there with the name Richard Shrivel.
I bet there is.
Anyway, even though Dick was getting a reputation and getting he wasn't the biggest name out there in the world of highwaymen.
Was he like I don't know, like who's really famous?
Like the biggest highwayman out there was
Michael Jackson.
Tom King.
Tom
he was
King?
Actually called Matthew King, but amongst his acquaintances, he was known as Tom. And he was the big.
He had a nickname.
He was the big hitter. He was bigger than. He was bigger than Dick.
He had a good nickname.
What was it?
Captain. Tom
King.
King.
Ah. So yeah, he was. I don't know. I was thinking like,
Captain King.
The world of like iconic homosexuals.
What? Like, take a step back there.
Tom would be like Boy George, and Turpin would be Brian from Big Brother.
Right, I get it, yeah.
Like that
in the world,
in the world of iconic homosexuals.
Prestige homosexuals.
Yes. In modern day era.
Yeah.
George Michael to Riley.
Tom would be Boy George.
I get it,
Boy
yeah.
George.
But no, I think I'm doing him a bit of a disservice with maybe Julian Clary.
Clary.
Turpin would be Julian Clary.
Clary. What about Quentin Crisp, who's he?
What about Wayne Sleep?
Right, you're throwing too many names at me. I don't know that many highwaymen.
I didn't know Wayne Sleep was an highwayman.
But King, Full King, name. As we said, was Captain. The big was the big name in the on the highway scene.
Captain King.
He was Captain King. He was known as the Gentleman Highwayman.
Ooh.
Because he was well-dressed, well-spoken.
Everything what Dick wanted to be, really.
Yes. He
good
was,
wig.
But he probably had a fine wig. But he was also very polite in his robbing. Now, this is where, you know, some of the charismatic characters maybe from the books and the legends comes from.
Ah,
he was very charismatic. Right. He was very
you.
Polite. And apparently he would leave some of his victims with enough money to get some food and water.
Oh,
you know,
what a gent.
What a gent indeed.
What a
stand-up,
nice lad.
Stand-up thief.
Nice bloke.
That's the kind of robber you want. Someone who robs you, but
someone
then gives
nice
you a buffer.
Well,
or...
yeah.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Bummed you, but wipes your tears.
Bums you, but does not cut your nose off.
Yes.
Well, there, exactly.
Could go on all night, couldn't we? Bums you, but don't put your ass on the fire.
Yeah. Cuts your nose off, but doesn't fuck the old.
Oh, no. No. But one evening, Turpin, now a lonely highwayman, is lurking in the woodland,
I bet that's
waiting.
A fetish somewhere.
Waiting.
Yes, like some of that, bloody. Brilliant.
Nostril fucking.
Cutting someone's nose off just for a shag.
We can't put.
You can.
What?
You can't discriminate against minority groups.
It's not some people's fault they like it.
Just how I was born.
Hey, what about what's her name?
Just how I was born.
It's
not...
You'd be right with it.
Hey, bloody hell, she'd be well in. Classic nose fucker.
Yeah. We've uncovered the truth after all these years.
It's not cocaine.
It's not. It's sexual proclivities.
That escalated quickly.
Well, that
so Dick Turpin, now a lonely highwayman. Hiding in the forest, waiting for a lonely passerby to wander. We're on their steed with money in their pocket. As he did see a man coming across the horizon, he jumped out and said, "Stand and deliver." The man on
your
his
money
horse,
or your life.
The man on his horse said, "Own up, who are you?" He said, "What's he going to do here? I'm bloody robbing you." He said, "No. You can't rob me, for I am Captain John King, the legendary highwayman." To which Dick said, "Hold on, I'm Dick Turpin, the slightly less legendary highwayman." Oh, bloody hell, two of us all in one place. It's like a collaboration between Boy George and Brian from Big Brother.
I'm glad it went that way. It could have gone into a turf war, couldn't it?
It could have done. All hell could have brought loose. But no, they decided to make friends and join forces like Goose and Maverick, Bonnie and Clyde,
Laurel and Hardy,
Dick and Dom.
Oh, yeah.
No, but together they became
a
very feared force.
Became very iconic, didn't they?
We need a double act for America. Penn and Teller.
Penn and Teller, yes.
Jason and Kylie.
They're Australian, aren't they?
Yeah, that's for our Australian listeners.
We do have one listener in Singapore, if you've got any...
Anyone got any good double acts from Singapore? Egg fried rice and salt and pepper chips.
Oh, racist.
It's not, it's food.
What are you on about?
So as you rightly say, Chris, he's made a new friend called Captain King.
Captain King.
So him and Captain King now are basically the scourge of Epping Forest.
It's a no-go zone.
It's a no-go zone.
Like the bumhole.
And as of 1735, they've got £100 on the head. A piece.
Ooh,
big bucks.
That's a lot of lolly at that time.
Now, as you can imagine, it's 300 years ago, so details are a bit sketchy, but they pick up another mate along the way, so they become a trio.
Triplet.
Of robbers, and this their other mate is called Stephen Potter.
Ooh. Ooh, fancy that.
Yeah. He sounds a bit less sexy though. Triple bandit.
He sounds like a fat old bloke.
Yeah. But I think things are getting things are getting so bad in Epping Forest that they decide to have a little holiday.
Oh, where are they off?
They go to Welland for a year.
Hey!
Fantastic.
Trying to pick up them aisle clogs direct. No. Well, direct to the source.
You know what you're going to do, don't you? Like, you know, if you've exhausted all your options in an area but you're good at your game,
yeah,
just take it to another
mix
place.
Mix it up a bit, yeah?
You know.
They're taking their highmanship over to foreign soils.
They do, and they make a fucking killing.
Do they?
Have a good year in Holland.
Come back
with loads of euros.
I was going to say, what do they do about euros?
Fucking loads of them. Good
straight down
bureau
direct exchange.
Where have you got all these from, Dick? Yeah.
Never you mind. Selling clogs.
I've been a butcher. So yeah, they do that, which is really good. I'm very pleased for
or
them.
Or not.
But yeah, they get back down to it in 1937 again. I mean, I don't want to bore you with every single reported event or robbery, but there are very much of a muchness. Someone comes by, stand and deliver, your money or your life, you get the money, they fuck them off, on to the next one.
Sell the horse.
So they've developed a nice little cottage industry until things go sour.
Ooh, 1937.
It's a bad year, 1937.
The poor Rob Joseph Mayer of his horse, a beautiful mare called White Stockings.
Ooh. White Stockings.
It's a bit kinky, that.
It is a bit kinky. I think it's apparently it stood out, this horse, because it had the white. Its feet were white.
Yeah, like socks on.
Like stockings.
Yeah, that's why.
And they were white.
White
right, okay. Saucy horse.
It was called White Stockings.
That'd have been a much better name.
Yeah. Saucy
horse. Saucy horse.
Nay.
You should bring it. You should tell that to like a racehorse owner.
Yeah, saucy horse.
Saucy horse. That's a great name. Trademark.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
but with the horse being so distinctive,
Saucy horse
was spotted outside. Were they always spotted outside?
The Red Lion pub.
The boozer, local boozer, tied up outside. So somebody had heard about the robbery, saw the horse, decided to hide out and wait for the returning.
Well, Mr. Mayer was very upset turpin. And he'd been sending, like, you know, he was a bit of a rich fella. He'd been sending out all these servants and that, his mates.
Spread the word.
And it's one of his mates who tracks down.
Richard Bay.
Yeah.
I believe he's called. Richard. And he hides out in the bushes waiting for someone to return to our saucy horse. And after a few pints, it's King who turns up first to untie the horse.
He goes to get the horse back.
John King.
Bay jumps out from the bushes.
Whoa! Oi! You! That's my saucy horse!
Get off my saucy horse, you cunt. That's an exact quote as well.
Exact quote. A scuffle breaks out.
Scuffle ensues.
Pistols are drawn.
Yeah.
Shots are fired, but nothing hits. Dick is made aware of the scuffle by the sound of the shots. Comes running round the corner. What's going on? King looks at Turpin. What are you doing? Fucking shoot the cunt. Fucking shoot him. Turpin draws his pistol.
He does.
Bang! Shoot. Pulls the trigger. Shoots. King.
Fuck.
Shit. Shoots his mate.
Shoot the other one.
Right in the gut. No! Shoot him! Shoot him, not me! So Turpin shoots again. This time, it's King. In the face! In the face!
What a bad
the
shot!
Ultimate insult.
Brown bread. And he has to leave on foot, even without saucy horse.
Yeah.
Got it.
Now, this is where the tale is romanced. In the books, this is where it's said that Turpin got on his horse, Black Bess, whether Black Bess actually ever existed.
Nay.
Did it, bollocks. Now, it's said that the tale is that he rode the horse from London to York in one night. No, if he's driving from London to York in one night.
Yeah.
200 miles.
On
a horse.
You'd have to go with to do it in one night. The idea was that he'd get there and that'd give him
his alibi. His alibi. Fucking York,
how could I possibly have done this? I was in York. But the horse would have to travel non-stop at 20 miles an hour.
Yeah. And it's only one horsepower.
One horsepower. And the average horse, I think, running is about 5 miles an hour.
You can't put petrol in it.
No, exactly. So that didn't happen.
You put lift tail up. This is where the petrol goes. Gas, America, gas.
No, that is not what Turpin did. He did what he always does when he's in a spot of bother. Got off down to Epping Forest!
Getting back to that forest.
And lay low. Dick went in the cave once again.
He was happy. He's happy in his cave. Mm. But then it doesn't last because he's hiding out in his cave. And, Epping Forest, it's not like just a big empty forest. It's managed because it's got deer in and all that. And one of the forest keepers...
in heels.
Yes, it's got fancy cows. The third sex. One of the servants of the forest keeper, a Mr. Morris, Thomas Morris,
yeah,
he spots Dick in his little cave.
Oi,
and
Dick!
He thinks, I'm gonna fucking have that cunt.
Hey, Turpin!
Can you imagine, like, you're a servant, if you can't stick Turpin, you're 100 quid.
Oh, you're made for life.
That's more than your 10 years' wages.
Yeah, made for life.
So he always thinks, I'm going to fucking have him. So he gets in, sneaks up on him, he shoots him, Dick, shoots Morris, not the other way around.
So he's probably pulled a gun on him, thinking he'll come quietly. Turpin's just pulled his gun out and shot him.
Yes, and an extract from the time.
All right.
States, Richard Turpin, giving him his full name.
Yes.
I would have gone with Dick.
Me too.
Richard... Oh yeah, but it did say Richard Turpin, what a dick. Yeah. So they couldn't use the same word twice in one sentence. Good English.
Good English.
High quality. Richard Turpin did on Wednesday the 4th of May last barbarously murdered Thomas Morris, servant to Henry Thompson, one of the keepers of Epping Forest, and commits other notorious felonies
notorious.
And robberies near London. His Majesty is pleased to promise his most gracious pardon to any of his accomplices and a reward of £200 to any person or persons that shall discover him so he may be apprehended and convicted.
Ooh.
Turpin, born in Thaxton, Essex, is about 30. A butcher by trade. 5'9"
a scoundrel
inches
by
high.
Nature.
Brown complexion. Been in Holland on his holidays.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And very much marked with the smallpox. His cheekbones are broad, his face thinner towards the bottom. His visage is pretty and short, and he is broad about the shoulders.
What's a visage?
His face. His visage.
Ah, right. Visage.
So there you go. They're all very unhappy.
Oh dear.
And now...
the heat's on now. He's basically saying, Turpin, run.
It's a matter of time, isn't it?
Or be caught and killed.
It's a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time now. But what does Turpin do after reading this very article?
Well, he gets wind of it, so lad realises he's going to have to fuck off.
He's going to have to fuck off.
And he has to leave his favourite forest, Epping Forest, and he has to go and live in Yorkshire.
You know what this is time for, don't you? Another rebrand.
Another rebrand.
Back
new
to
name.
Drawing table.
Need a new name.
Drawing boards, not the, drawing on the table.
I need a pseudonym.
A big graffiti. Yes. He needs a new name. A new
pseudonym.
And he does go with a new name. Dump. The name of John Palmer. No
John
relation to Carlton.
It's very
Carlton
nice.
Carlton Palmer.
he chooses
Robert.
The name Carlton Palmer. And like you said... moves up to York, but he doesn't change his Robin ways.
Where
he was going between Lincoln, York, and London before, now he's just going between Lincoln and York.
Yeah.
He like still
can't teach an old dog new tricks.
No.
A leopard can't change its spots.
Yes. He's nicking horses in Lincoln and then going up to York and selling them, vice versa.
Well, it is.
But again, you can. It's still a very, very naughty, naughty thing to steal horses.
Very naughty.
The thing is,
we'll still get your neck stretched.
Lad's lost his mojo. He's slipping into a depression.
Oh, I mean, no.
You would, wouldn't you? Like, you
well,
fucked up two gangs.
Well, it's a bit like he's got this big persona. He was a character. He was known. Dick Turpin was one of the kings of the highway now. And now he's a completely different man. Literally, he's lost that. He's lost it.
It's a shame for the lad. Do you know
he's
what?
Got to start again.
He has a bad day.
Oh.
He has a bad day. He goes out on Rob poaching. He's had to go back to poaching. Can
poaching
you imagine?
Deer?
The step down from being
king of the highway.
Yeah, now he's robbing deers and sheep and all that shit.
Eggs.
And he went out on Rob. Bad day, didn't get nothing. Came back all pissed off, feeling a bit depressed. Shot another man's cock.
Oh!
I know, that
no need for that.
Guaranteed to get you into trouble. Yes, not any old man. It was his landlord, Gamecock.
Oh, right, I thought he'd blown his bollocks off.
Oh, yeah, well,
so did I, thought
there
were dicks flying everywhere. Turns out to be a chicken.
It was his prize cock.
Oh, it's his prize. Well, that's it, you see. The famous Dick Turpin. The famous charismatic highwayman of England. You expect some kind of
flourish.
Dramatic out with a flourish.
Yeah.
But no, he just shot his landlord's chicken. And was arrested.
He nearly shot the landlord as well.
Oh, well.
But then this is where it's like...
If anything's to go by previous target practice, he was probably aiming for the landlord.
Yeah, oh, that's true. But he doesn't put up a fight, you see. And this is where it's clear to see that Dick has slipped into the depths of depression. It's not an happy Dick.
This is the first occasion that Dick has found himself in a prison cell. It's the first time he's ever been arrested. And what is he now, 34? Something like that? 34, 35. A life of crime. And this is his first time in a prison cell.
The lad's not making any attempt to escape.
No.
It's reported that he could have easily got out, but he just didn't ask about
it. He didn't have the heart.
It was also reported that they put a bond on him, and if he'd have paid it, he'd have been a free man.
Right.
Because at the moment... He's John Palmer and he's shot a chicken.
He's shot a chicken.
And that's it.
But.
That's all they know.
But. A bit of good police work.
Mm.
Olden day police work.
Which is always surprising because they usually fuck it up. They usually turn up with sausage roll crumbs.
Exactly. Exactly. They don't suss out that he's Dick Turpin, but they do realise that he is the horse schnaffler.
It's more than he's letting on. It's not just
horse.
A chicken
the
shooter.
The horsey, saucy schnaffler who's been going from Lincoln to York. So they realise, actually, no, he's not just a chicken shooter. He is a horse stealer.
A nicker.
Now, as we've said before, horsing, nicking
rustler.
Horses, rustling of horses is a very, very naughty crime.
You get killed
off. And you'll be killed off. You get your neck stretched. But... There was a loophole if you was a schnaffler of horses, where, as we said, our lady friend earlier got sent off to America.
Yeah, you can go off.
That could also be your fate. That could also be your fate if you were a horse nicker. But you needed a character witness.
Or to say that you didn't mean it and you...
Proper good lad.
And it was an accident.
I know he's a bit naughty, like.
I'm dead sorry.
He's a bit rough around the edges, you know what I mean?
That's why... The American gangsters, like mafia types, always mates with a priest.
Yes.
Always mates with a priest. Because then you fuck up.
Character witness.
You get arrested. Priest comes round. He's a good lad. So does he have a character witness?
Well, his brother-in-law. There's a bit of a problem, though. He's got to send a letter to his brother-in-law.
Well, he lives a long way away.
He lives in Essex.
Yes, he does.
He's in York. He needs to send a letter to say, it's Dick, I need a character witness. But he's not called Dick anymore, he's called John Palmer. And he obviously can't sign his letter, Dick Turpin.
Big Dickie.
Otherwise, he'll realise it's Dick Turpin. So
gives the game away.
He does give the game away. So he writes a letter to his brother-in-law saying, you know, I need a character witness.
Yeah,
I'm in a spot of bother.
Knowing that he'll read between
the
lines.
He might read between the lines. And signs it, John Palmer. Well, unfortunately, Dick's brother-in-law, not the sharpest tool in the shed.
It doesn't click, does it?
No.
Well, I hear that he's a tightwad.
It is.
And don't want to pay for the postage.
Ah, right.
Because
in
olden days, it was back to front postage. You paid for your letter when it came.
Ah.
Before they invented stamps.
See, I just assumed that he thought, well, I don't know anybody who lives in York, and I don't know anyone called...
Well, that was part of it.
Carlton Palmer.
And plus,
so
he didn't
Essex,
want to put...
I mean, York from Essex, bit of a move. Yeah.
He didn't want to put his hand in his pocket to pay for the letter, because he thought, I don't know anyone called John Palmer.
Well, you're a tight bastard.
I'm not putting my hand in my pocket for that. It cost me 6 rupees or whatever it were in them days.
6 and 5.
Yeah, that's what in olden days, he just had numbers. How much did that cost, love? 7 and 3.
2 and 1. So obviously his brother-in-law refused to pay this charge, which, as we've mentioned, we can see why.
Tight ass. And probably because his name was Pomper Rivenall.
Yeah.
Shit,
that
man.
Is a lovely name. No, I like that one. A
bit too exotic for...
It's better than Ambrosia Crust or whatever he was called.
So, yeah,
Stephen
this...
Potter.
The fat bloke.
Yeah, the fat robber.
We don't even know if he's fat.
What's
but...
he called again?
Stephen Potter.
No, the good name.
Pomper Rivenall.
Pomper Rivenall. Yes.
Top
That's
lad.
That's a man I'd like to cheer him.
Bed with.
It goes that way, it goes that way.
Yeah, amazing me. So this letter's at large and it just gets moved to the post office because there's nowhere for it to go.
I wonder if you got a card through.
Well, hey, it might be,
got
yeah.
A
package. Yeah. You have to bring your driving licence and a form of
fucking
pain
in the arse,
haven't
they?
And so it was moved to a post office at Saffron Walden, which was, you know, it was near Essex.
Yeah.
Where James Smith, incidentally, someone who went to school with Dick and taught him how to write, was in there,
just
and he recognised the
handwriting.
Probably
just getting like a quarter of a finger, K-Li.
He recognised the handwriting.
You see, that's...
Yeah, he recognised the handwriting, which I think, well, it makes me think, is it a bit fabricated?
I wouldn't
recognise
anybody's handwriting.
If he taught him to write...
Yeah, but at school, and then we're talking 15, 16, 17 years later.
Well, maybe we'll talk about right later on.
Maybe it was extra.
No, because
bad.
After at 20 year olds, he were off like running off doing robberies.
Well, maybe, but in olden days, there were only about 85 people in the old country.
Kid right.
So, you know, there weren't a lot, were there?
There's something that doesn't sit quite right with me on that front, but maybe I'm wrong.
Mm.
So,
well,
he recognises his handwriting.
He recognises his handwriting. Yeah,
he's K-Line.
Yeah,
what's that over there?
Informs the authorities, and in this chat was called Thomas Stubbin, and he paid the postage so he could open the letter.
Ooh.
And so Smith, he obviously got wind of something amiss here, and he travelled all the way to York Castle. Ooh. And on the 23rd of February, he identified Palmer as Turpin.
Oh, can you imagine him pulling up like seeing his old school friend there at the bar? Yeah. I was like, right, Smithy, how you doing?
What we don't, what we didn't
him.
Know is
fucking you right over.
Yeah.
And what Smith had his missus at home waiting to press the button on the laptop to book holiday.
Yeah.
Because he received £200 for that.
Yeah.
He received £200.
200 quid.
29 grand.
What? 29 grand.
29 grand.
Oh, Will Cruise. Will Cruise.
All the way.
It won't be all inclusive in T-Jibs.
Yeah.
I bet all the way when he was going up to York, in his head he was thinking, when I get there,
he was spending every penny.
He's
going to
go, dun dun dun.
Splashing his cat.
I'm a bit nervous.
Oh, he'd have been spending that money all the way to York, wouldn't he?
All that moolah. So, yeah, there
the
we go.
The game's up for our Dick.
Dick's fucked.
Dick's gone flopping.
It's the final fuck. But he's given up himself for this. He's very despondent.
I think he doesn't.
He's not even really. He has the opportunity to build a defence because he still has a fairly robust argument to say that. Well, I wasn't there when these crimes were committed. I've been in York for such a long time and all this stuff. But he can't even be arsed, lad.
But he does get a bit of a send-off.
He does.
It said that in his cell, because he did have still... Because now it was revealed that this is the famous Dick Turpin that had got in the cell.
Celebrity status.
And he did have
in.
Celebrity status. And apparently the guardsman on his cell made £100 in the build-up to his execution, which, if 229 grand...
It's like, what? It's like 15 11, grand, isn't it? Pretty much. 14,000
Shed lord.
He made about 15 grand by letting in women... And blokes with booze who wanted to share a drink with him.
We'll have a drink.
Women wanted to sit on our dicky. so he had a whale of a time for that week, building up to his execution.
Bit shit in olden days, though.
It's a bit weird, though, isn't it? Like, that all these women wanted to shag this
That's a bit like being on death row, isn't it?
Like, it's almost like saying I shagged a famous bloke. Yeah, you look at me. You? It's like selling a story to someone. Like I went and shagged Peter Andre last week. Yeah. Look at me. like that kind of idea. Yeah. I think.
Yeah, it's thingy though. He had to buy some professional mourners. That's a bit shit.
I feel like that's very sad.
I think that'd be an interesting job though.
Looks sad.
Insert name here.
Yeah, it'd be difficult if like you were a follower of method acting and you're just constantly mourning. Like, oh, I've got to stay in character. I've got to stay in character. Tell him shut up in there.
But he looked nice. He bought himself a new coat and shoes to be hung in. Oh. Finally got rid of that blue and grey shit jacket.
At least jacket still itself.
Fucking bang that, get rid of that. they didn't come cheap, mourners.
No, well, you had a bit of cash, didn't
you? Five mourners, £3.10.
Yeah.
See, there we are again, £3.10. How many for how much? Five mourners.
I'll have three and ten, please.
Six and four.
On the 22nd of March, 1739, at the age of 35.
Young lad.
Young Turpin made his final steps up the ladder. Apparently, he showed an air of confidence.
Yeah, he gets his bottle back. Yeah. I think he's had probably...
That's all that shagging, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he gets to the top
Kill
of the
me
ladder.
Now.
Apparently, he just... one brisk stamp with his left leg to stop it shaking as he got a little bit of nerves towards the end. And then he jumped. And that was the end of our dick.
Oh, dicky boy.
Well, it was.
Stretched by the neck.
Wasn't quite the end, though, because it took a few hours to die because it was a short drop.
It took a couple of hours before he went flopping.
Strangled. It weren't the old neck snapper. God. It was just like the old...
That's pretty gross. What a horrible
if you're gonna
way
go
to die.
Like, you'd want the snap, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd want
you
the really
full
would.
Snap. The full snap of the neck.
Full snapperoo.
Well, Dick, showman to the end, having got his mojo back on the gallows, it wasn't quite the end of his story there. So, his body's taken off to be buried in the graveyard of St. George's Church.
Ooh, nice send-off for a crooked
and,
man.
You know, it goes fairly well. Gets buried.
I got a good burying.
He got buried with some spoiling water.
Lad got buried.
Saucy arse looked on and enjoyed it.
Buried on the Thursday. Following Tuesday, some fucking body snatchers come and dig him up.
Bloody hell.
What?
Yeah, cleaning him is up.
It's all the rage in them days, you know.
Oh, yeah, it is grave digging and,
They want cadavers for learning about how your body works.
The body.
But Dick, being a man of foresight in this instance, he'd hired some grave watchers.
Hey.
Again, another great job along with professional mourner to just watch a grave.
Watch a grave.
That'd be shit, wouldn't it?
And the body snatchers managed to dig him up and get him out of the ground.
He weren't watching very much. They managed to, unless he'd let him put the effort in. Let him work a sweat up. work a sweat up before I stick him in irons.
Well, as with most situations in this time, he was probably in the fucking pub, weren't he?
Yes.
Well, anyway, he made it out because last orders were at 3, and they saw him scuttling off down the street with Dick over his shoulder.
Dick over his shoulder.
So he managed to apprehend them. And Dick's body, thankfully, was recovered and reburied.
Oh,
a
well,
bit of dignity.
Cool.
A bit
that's
of dignity nice. There, fat lad.
So, the tale of Dick Turpin.
And
how,
there you go, that's Dick.
How he,
in the ground.
Well, as we've said, not quite the charismatic highwayman that we were all led to believe. So, I think many people might ask, well, where does this legendary status come from? You know, he was just a bit of a ragamuffin at the end of it. But.
It's like Chinese whispers over years.
Well, during
films and depictions and stuff, isn't it?
Dying in, what was it, in 1739, the book Rookwood was published in 1834, with the lead character being one Dick Turpin, the Highwayman Cavalier.
Ooh.
Dauntless Dick Turpin.
Yeah. The author, Harrison Ainsworth, was, it's said that he probably based the character on Dick's accomplice.
The gentleman. Captain King.
But Dick Turpin had a bit more of a ring to it, you know, a bit more snappy.
And Annie were from Essex, we were a bit more...
Bit of a wide body, a bit whoa.
Wide boy.
Better teeth as well.
Good set of pearly whites.
Yeah. So Dick took the lead role, even though he wasn't as charismatic as... And then from the book came
the TV series, the films... It's
the,
in the book where Dick rides Black Bess.
Yes, and that's where the legendary tale
of Dick and Black Bess comes from,
So there you have it.
Very
so
interesting.
There you go, we've put some right to the...
I think we've really cleared up this one. I think we've started off on the right foot.
On the right dick.
Yes.
Best Dick's polished. Polished up, best dick forward. Best dick up, put your dicks up. Everyone get your dicks forward.
Polish your helmets and...
Shine them up.
Turn your dicks up.
So yeah, very good, I'm very pleased with that.
Cocks out.
That one.
We've just run out of things to say.
I know, now we're just talking about big old dicks.
Oh no, it's good to be back.
Very good to be back.
It's fantastic to
be
back.
It's been a while, and for which we apologise. Unforeseen circumstances, things out of our control.
Oh, bloody mayhem.
It's been mayhem. I think there's been a conspiracy against us to try and take us off the airwaves.
Yes.
But we fought back against the machine. We've given it to the man, stuck it to the man. And we're back.
Stuck it to him.
Feels good. Got the
nostrils. Right in the nostrils.
Oiled the inges.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So we're back. So we'll say hi to us. Say hello to us. Send us a message.
Oh, do all that Facebook stuff, Twitter stuff. We're all back in action. The full, all pistons are steaming.
The all new Penny Mortals podcast brought to you by
nobody.
Yes, a sponsor to be named.
We're waiting for you. Sponsors.
So there you go.
So Facebook, Twitter us, email us, get in touch, like, subscribe, all that nonsense, and get us back up the chat.
Get listening.
That'll be good.
We'd love it.
I mean, because to be fair, I've listened to all the competition and the shit.
This would be a good one.
We are singularly the best podcast in the world.
It's just the more people that tune in, the more we'll be able to dedicate out to sending good prizes to our listeners.
But if you're out like me, stickers, as soon as anything gets popular, I'll go off it. Yeah. Fuck it. I don't like that anymore. Gone downhill.
So we're better being like
underground.
Not good. Underground. We've been the Penny Mortos. Thank you and good night. It's been lovely. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, and we'll be back soon.
Stupidly.
Lovely.
Superb. Keep an eye on the Facebook for when we'll be back with more stuff. Yeah.
Good. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
One, two, book in my shoe.
Betty had a bit of butter. The bit of butter that Betty had was bitter, so Betty got a better bit of butter.
Bum.
I forgot we're doing the Penny Mortals now. Betty the bitch bummed some butter.